Welcome to the world of Shabbos. My name is Reuven Brand, and I invite you to listen in as we share a powerful burst of Torah that will transform your experience of Shabbos. Whether we'll be swaying with a group of Majitzer Hasidim at Shalashuddis or cracking a Talmudic mystery, we'll be pursuing a journey to deepen and enrich our weekly Shabbos experience. Let's get started. One of the most beautiful parallels in the world of Shabbos is its connection to Shemitah, the sabbatical year. Take a look, if you have a moment, in Rabbi Zev Reichman's introduction to Hasidus in Flames of Faith, where he develops the concept of the number seven, the pattern of the number seven, as the totality of the world in which we exist. These seven attributes of life, which are expressed in seven musical notes, seven colors of the rainbow, 7 days of the week, are emanation of Hashem's energies. We could call them spheros. And of course, they express their fullness in the natural world through the number seven, which of course is Shabbos and the concept of Shemitah, the sabbatical year, every 7 year. The Ramban in Torah Hashem Tamima, in a famous, fantastic drasha, a sermon that he gave in the shul in Barcelona 800 years ago, points out that Hashem chose the number seven through this fullness in the seventh year, the sabbatical year, the seventh day, the day of Shabbos, and the seventh month with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. Not only is there this pattern of the number seven, even within seven, according to Kabbalah, according to the mystical tradition, there are sub-patterns. So the pattern of seven are really subdivided into three, three, and one. The first three, those are the spheros known as chesed on the right side, gevura on the left side, tiferes, balance in the middle, and then underneath that, beneath that, you have netzach on the right side, hod on the left side, yesod in the middle, and then beneath those sets of circles or triangles is Malchus, the seventh sphera, the seventh dimension, the seventh emanation that captures and expresses everything. So there's a beautiful Meshech Chachma who points out that this parallel of three, three, and one within the number seven is true both for Shemitah and for Shabbos. When it comes to the days of creation, Hashem says Ki Tov on the third day, and on the sixth day, and then the seventh day is Shabbos. Similarly, when we have the agricultural cycles, on the third year and on the sixth year are the years that a farmer would give Maaser Ani, would give a special tithe to the poor, paralleling that Ki Tov, that goodness. It's not accidental then, when you go through Parshas Bahar and you count up the times that it says Shabbos LaShem, Shabbos Shabboson, Shabbos LaShem, Shnas Shabboson, Shabbos Aretz, Shabbos Hashanah, and Shabbos Hashanim, it comes to the number seven. So, on one foot, so to speak, I'll regel achas, very briefly, a quick outline of some of the concepts that are underpinning both Shabbos and Shemitah. The Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Pei Daled points out, number one, that both of these are meant to inculcate with us the concept of emunah in the Chiddush HaOlam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God created the world. So we remember and we rest, so to speak, to commemorate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's resting and the Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, that on the seventh day he ceased, and that we don't subscribe to the Aristotelian philosophy of Kadmos HaOlam. Of course, matter is not eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. And therefore, we commemorate that fundamental element of faith every week and every set of Shemitah cycles. In addition, we take it a step further, said the Sefer HaChinuch, for a second level of meaning in the concept of bitachon. How amazing is it that a person is willing to walk away from their job on Friday, especially knowing that their work may move on without them on Saturday, or in a different time, in a different place, maybe they would get fired for not coming to work on Saturday. And yet they have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. Similarly, says the Sefer HaChinuch in the midst of Shemitah Karkos, there in Pei Daled, he says that the farmer who takes off an entire year of his parnasa places his faith and trust squarely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. We have this giving over of our lives to Hashem, recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything and is the ultimate provider. That's a theme, a key theme for both Shabbos and Shemitah. So that's number one. And number two, what's the purpose? Similarly, says Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer in his commentary on Chumash, the purpose of both of these days of rest, of these sabbatical experiences, is so that we should have free time, chofshi lenafsho, that we should be able to devote our time for learning. That we should have a set time, like the Ramban Nachmanides explains, that when it comes to Shabbos, it's meant to be a time for going to shul, gathering for Torah learning and for davening. So too in the Shemitah year, a person is supposed to be dedicating time that they're not Torah, they're not busy with their work, that they can really have time for learning. But it's not just that it's a practical commonality, that both Shabbos and Shemitah are times for us to learn. Rav Kook, in his introduction to his masterful work, Shabbos Haaretz, he explains that Shabbos and Shemitah are meant to bring out inherent spiritual values. They're meant to reorient us. Shabbos, he explains, is the rest on the level of the individual. Shemitah is the rest on the level of the community, of the nation, which of course is why it's related to the land, because as a nation, we have a corresponding land, which is the personification in one way of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish community. And we are meant to live in a frame, in a space, in these times where we feel that culture, Malachteinu Asuya, everything that we need to do is done, and it's just us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it is a time of Shinas, Rav Kook writes, Sheket v'shalva, be'in noges v'rode. We don't feel that we are pursued by creditors, that we're not hounded in a reality that's focused on consumerism and physical needs. It's not about personal property. It's not about kaptonos of rechush prati, he says. It's about thinking on a different level. So it's not just, yes, of course, it's as Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer says, it's not just that we have time to learn, but that this time frees us more generally from feeling trapped in a consumer rat race, feeling that it's all about how much I have and what I've earned and what I owe. Rather, says Rav Kook, it's about a time that we can live with a different mindset, with a different headspace of focused on spirituality. It's the antithesis of this consumer model. And that brings us to the next level, that there is a sense of equality among all people, that there is no preference. When you live in this spiritual state, there's no preference given to somebody who has more material possessions and less. The Shabbos, it's the experience that we all share, irrespective of our socioeconomic status. And that's the same thing, of course, for Shemitah. When in Shemitah, you're not allowed to express private ownership at all over your agricultural possessions. And if you think about it, when Shemitah was in its heyday, the vast majority of people were involved in an agrarian society. So people really felt that sense of equality. The ideal of Shabbos and Shemitah is that it's an equalizer, and it creates the perfection of society striving toward this equality. I'm reminded of that beautiful description of Rav Soloveitchik as a young person living in Warsaw, davening in a mozhitzer shtibel. And he's swaying back and forth, looking at the man next to him, and he says that the man is nearly unrecognizable, because even though he's wearing a threadbare kapata, and during the week he's a schlepper, on Shabbos he's a prince. Because on Shabbos, when we live based on spiritual values, the material possessions are not significant. And so these commonalities bring us ultimately to where Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, has a concept in a beautiful sicha, in the idea that Shabbos and Shemitah both serve both as a destination and also a point of departure. Shabbos and Shemitah, they are the orientation to which we lead our lives during the Sheshes Me'emaseh. We live for Shabbos. We count toward Shemitah. We are taking our physical and daily activities and orienting them toward a day of Kedusha. And then at the same time, that day of Kedusha is a jump-off point for the entire rest of the week. It orients us spiritually. So we have this Shabbos LaHashem on an individual level and on a national level, and they both give us these gifts of reminding us of our emunah, our bitachon. They give us a space to engage in Talmud Torah, but also, of course, to live more broadly in a space and a frame of ruchnius, of spirituality, not of consumerism. It enables us to create a society of shivyon, of equality, and ultimately it frames our entire existence as spiritual individuals. What a beautiful pattern, the number 7 between Shabbos and Shemitah. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The World of Shabbos. Please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a great review. For more Torah learning opportunities, please check out our Kollel's website, www.torahchicago.org.